This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Till a few years ago, doctors who received payments from pharmaceutical companies never had to breathe a word about them. And whether physicians prescribed medication or used devices based on those exchanges was anyone's guess. Thanks to the Physicians Payment Sunshine Act, those payments now have to be reported. WUNC data reporter Jason DeBruin combed through 3 years' worth of gifts to see if payments from pharma had influenced doctors' behavior, and he joins me now. Welcome, Jason.
Hi, Frank. Good to be with you.
Tell us more about the Physicians Payment Sunshine Act. What's required here? What kind of disclosures?
Pharmaceutical and medical device companies are now required to report this to CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, sort of part of the DHHS, the federal government, basically. Mm-hmm. And physicians have a chance to check and make sure that the payments are accurate or that they've been accurately recorded. And then after that checkup, it becomes public information. So if a drug rep takes a doctor out to lunch, if a physician is on a speaking tour talking about a new drug, if a physician potentially works on, say, a knee implant and receives royalty payments, every single one of those payments is now individually trackable and public information.
So what's behind this? I mean, it's included in the Affordable Care Act, but I wonder what the concern was and why this act came into being.
Well, the concern was, and you sort of said it at the top, is just undue influence by drug makers and medical device manufacturers on physicians. I'll give you sort of a simple example. If you think of, for example, cholesterol drugs, there are very many different kinds of cholesterol drugs. Many of them work in a very similar fashion. Many people across the United States take cholesterol medication. There are branded drugs. There are generic drugs. The cost of these drugs can vary quite widely. And so if you're a pharmaceutical company, presumably you would prefer to have a physician prescribing more of your type of cholesterol drug over your competitor's drugs. So if I'm a drug rep and I am taking a doctor out to lunch on a regular basis or paying for them to go, you know, have on a speaking tour in exotic places, then I am trying to potentially influence that physician to prescribe my medication over my competitor's medication. And so the concern was, well, now doctors are potentially making prescriptions or writing prescriptions not based on what's best for the patient, but based on where they're getting the most influence from industry. Not necessarily payola, as in, although that has, you know, kickback schemes have been happening, but not necessarily if you prescribe this, we'll pay you, but just that the influence of relationships, influence of, you know, constant contact was a potential concern. And so now all of these payments, that's one of the reasons why these payments now became public.
All right, and become public, which is not to say they're prohibited at all, but just become public. So now we know, and we have 3 full years of data. So what do they show so far?
Well, they show that there is at least a correlation. We hesitate, and researchers have hesitated to call this a causation at this point, but there definitely is a correlation. There have been a number of studies, cholesterol drugs, again, sort of being one of the hot topics because there are just so many people that take these drugs. But research, academic research published in academic journals has shown that there is a correlation between physicians that receive large amounts of money from industry and prescribing habits of branded drugs. So those physicians that receive money or significant amounts of money from industry are more likely to prescribe brand name, i.e. more expensive drugs, even when there are generics available. And those physicians who receive less money or in some cases, you know, very little or no money are more likely to prescribe generic medications that, you know, for the patient ultimately can be far cheaper.
And what is the scope of this now? Again, we've got some data. So how much money are we talking about? And you talked about the various ranges from, you know, post-it notes with your name on it, your branded name on it, to lunches all the way up to honoraria, which can go into the, you know, six figures to reward doctors for maybe speaking or something else. What's the scope of this? How much money are we talking about?
It's not to be understated. In North Carolina, in 2016 alone, there were more than 365,000 individual payments. Let me say that again, 365,000 individual payments. That means on any given day, there were 1,000, you know, interactions, contacts, payments made lunches bought, gifts given, honoraria paid from pharmaceutical or medical device companies to physicians in North Carolina. Now, it's a lot of physicians. There's 31,000 physicians across the state that receive money, and the total dollar figure just in North Carolina last year was $74 million. So, you know, yeah, this is spread out over a lot of people, 31,000 physicians, but it sort of, to me, highlights just that continued and constant influence that industry is trying to have on the medical, you know, profession. You, if you look nationwide, as you mentioned, since 2013, it's available, or excuse me, 2014, it's about $25 billion that industry has paid nationwide to physicians across the nation. So, I mean, this is not, we're not talking small amounts of money here.
Right. And again, you don't put out money unless you expect something in return. Now, it's not always, as you say, this is not necessarily payola. There's no connection there. There might be other reasons that you would do these kinds of things and nurture these sort of relationships. What are some of the pharmaceutical companies and doctors saying about, you know, what is the root of these relationships?
And that's exactly right. And it should be noted that, for example, research is included in these payments. So If I'm a drug company that is developing a new type of cancer medication, for example, and I want to, in clinical trials, test to see how that works in the patient population that I'm targeting, you know, certainly for the advancement of medicine, it's very important to run these types of tests in you know, clinical trials that are run by physicians, run at academic medical institutions. So, you know, those are payments that I think are seen as good for the advancement of medicine. Similarly, if, let's say, an orthopedist develops a new or a better hip implant or a knee implant or something of that nature that improves people's lives, you know, whenever that implant is then used, that physician deserves, you know, if that physician holds a patent on any of these items, that physician deserves a royalty to come back to them. And so, you know, there are many different subsections of payments that you can track. And that's important, too, because one of the largest forms of payments is classified as food and beverage, and another one as travel. So it's very easy to tease out sort of these, the royalty payments and the research payments and look only where physicians are receiving, say, lunches or dinners, receiving, you know, travel, sometimes first class, going to these, you know, having speaking engagements in cities, you know, across the nation or sometimes even the world. I mean, the research that I noted earlier about the cholesterol drugs, they do that specifically. They don't factor in the research dollars, and they don't factor in some of these other payments that are, you know, quote unquote, considered for the advancement of medicine, but they look only at the payments that go for, you know, individuals, you know, from industry to individuals in the form of food or in the form of travel.
And in that case, they are more likely to prescribe name drugs the more they got, the more of those gifts they got, and more likely to prescribe generic the less they got. So that was the correlation there. And a University of North Carolina study looked into prescribing patterns for three cancer drugs. Can you tell us more about that?
That's right. So it's sort of a similar finding. And this, as you said, this was right here at UNC. What they looked at were three branded drugs in this case, but this was for, I mean, these are very expensive drugs to, you know, to treat cancers, very highly specialized. And what they found similarly were that doctors that received payments from, you know, company A were more likely to prescribe or use company A's drug. And I should note that this was actually a really well-designed study because all three drugs work effectively. All are, you know, given the thumbs up by the, you know, cancer institutes, and these are all said to work very well. And so doctors can choose the drug that they think would work best for their patient. So you would hope to see a correlation between the type of drug and the, you know, the specific attack that a physician wants to use, but instead we're seeing a correlation between the payments from that drug company and the physician using that branded drug.
Are there any specialties that accepted more payments than others? Which specialties in North Carolina accepted the most payments?
Yeah, that's a good question. I looked at that. So cardiovascular metabolism is one that received by far the most compared to other treatment areas. Diabetes was another one that was way up there. Oncology is another big one, you know, and sort of goes down from there. And why that's important is that, you know, there are very many people across North Carolina, across the nation, that suffer from cardiovascular diseases. And so if you are a drug rep, if you're an industry player, certainly that would be an area where you could benefit the most from having your company's drugs prescribed over a competitor's drugs. So we are seeing that a lot of money is being spent in areas where the most influence can be held and the most, where I should say like this, where influence could get the most benefit.
Transparency is the point behind this law. If I'm a patient, can I go to some website and see what my doctor is taking from whom?
You can, and I think that's the most important thing, I think, to leave listeners with, which is, again, none of this is illegal. These are all legal payments, but they deserve to have questions asked. You can go to our website. A story is going to publish here shortly this afternoon that sort of takes a look at all of these different payments in North Carolina. The nonprofit news service ProPublica also has a very good searchable database where all you have to do is type in the name of your physician and you can see which payments he or she is receiving from industry players. Again, this isn't necessarily to say anything is not above board, but it's, I think, very important that there become a cultural shift among patients where we look at our physicians and say, okay, you're prescribing me this medication. Are you prescribing it because you truly think that it's the best for me? Or are you prescribing it because this drug's company has a lot of influence over you? So again, we don't know that there's any correlation. Excuse me, we don't know that there's any causation, but we do know that there are correlations. And so these are difficult conversations to have. These are difficult questions to ask of your provider.
But it should the patient should have the control and be able to do it. Data reporter Jason DeBruin, WNC Data Reporter, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just ahead, a look at the 50-year legacy of the Ebony Fashion Fair on the State of Things. Stay with us.